bless you all. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in our lives, our Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Wow, everybody sat down without me telling them. You're getting used to me. I quite often forget, don't I? Advent. We're at the time of Advent. A time of expectation. In fact, that's what Advent means, a time of expectation. And here in this reading, Jesus talks about an a time of expectation. But it's not the expectation that we often think that is so good and happy. And you think, what on earth is this gospel reading about? It sounds so full of woe and terrible things to come. And to read Luke 21 just in this little piece is a little bit out of context. You've got to read the whole of Luke 21, really. Because Jesus is preparing his disciples for times to come. Now, Luke wrote his gospel in the dawn before there was a great upheaval in Israel. A real time of trauma and death where thousands of people died. You see, Luke was writing this in about year 58. But in 66, 8 years after, this guy called Gisius Florus, I'm going to shoot some of the mothers that name these kids, but he decides to rob the temple of all its silver. And in the process of doing so, there's a great upheaval in Jerusalem and he slaughters 3,600 people. And this also triggers a revolt right across Israel. And the Zealots rise up and others rise up. The Zealots took Masada and that encouraged others to rise up right across the whole of the western side of the Jordan River. And there was a great revolt. And so another guy called Cestus Callus. What a name, Cestus Callus. I'd hate to be called that at school. He comes and he besieges Jerusalem. However, he fails. And 6,000 Roman soldiers are actually killed in a battle. And he withdraws. But Nero then appoints a man called Vespasian. And Vespasian is a great general. And he puts down the rebellion and he surrounds the whole of Jerusalem and besieges Jerusalem. So during that time, Jerusalem goes through great famine and many people die from starvation and disease, thousands. But at the dawn, Nero dies and he's called back to Rome to be the new Caesar. So he appoints his son Titus and Titus continues to besiege Jerusalem until he actually sacks Jerusalem. And when he comes in and sacks Jerusalem, he comes in and slaughters many. Not only that, takes many into captivity for slavery and at the same time totally destroys the temple. Jerusalem and Israel are completely devastated. So that gives you a kind of a historical account of what Jesus was telling the disciples to prepare for. Almost, and that little line he says, you know, You can tell the times. Watch for the buds in the trees. And when you see these things happening, you know it's summer. But in this case, it was something terrible that was coming. You can tell why that the hearts of people were fainted and the hearts of people were in great fear and turmoil. And yet, he's telling the disciples, and the disciples haven't forgotten. The disciples actually record this, also in Matthew and Luke. And they record this, and they're writing this down literally at the dawn of all this upheaval. And many of the Christians and the disciples escape to a town on the east of the Jordan River, north of Jerusalem, called Pella. Actually, Pella, the name of Pella, is actually means the city of refuge, which I think is quite apt. And there they stay in Pella until things quieten down. Many people, though, don't return back to Jerusalem and yet go further afield. Some of the disciples do return back to Jerusalem. But at that same time that all this is happening, we have to remember that Peter and Paul are killed in Rome. Now, you would think that in this great upheaval and such an early fledgling Christian church, where not only were they persecuted by the Romans, but they're also persecuted by their own people, the Jewish people. And you would think that such a fledgling church would simply dissipate and just be no more. However, the opposite happens. The Christians spread out throughout the known world, and they bring the gospel throughout the known world. And Christ is proclaimed. But not only proclaimed, the Christians are the ones that actually reached out in their own suffering to actually help others that are suffering in trauma as well. They are the ones that actually reached out in the midst of all this trauma to show the love of Christ, to show his grace, and to bring his hope to a people that desperately needed hope. And in finding Christ, they found a reality in Christ's hope. So the Christians became the prophets, proclaiming Christ and saying, in all this trauma, there is hope, there is grace, there is salvation. And we can live it, not just, you know, just hope that it comes or hope that we're in it. We can live that. And we see how the church then grew and became something that was an influence right across the known world. Yet we see here a time for us today to remain with that expectation of Christ coming again. Because Jesus not only tells the disciples to expect what is happening for their protection, but he says expect him to return again. Expect him to return again. And what he's actually saying is, live as if I am going to be back any time. And that reminds me of the scripture in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about the five virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the five, and there was another, there were ten actually, ten virgins. Five had their candles their oil topped up, and the other five didn't. And so in waiting, others just lost faith, but others remain faithful. And Jesus says, no, in that scripture, Jesus says, you don't know when I'm going to come back, but live as if I am going to come back any time. And so in this reading here, we don't know. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And we see across the world great turmoil. You look at Ukraine, the people in Ukraine lived as we are living now. And then suddenly, there's a great upheaval in their lives. They watch TV. I just saw recently they even had, The Bachelor. Bachelor show. Except the guy in the Bachelor show is a double amputee from the war. They did things exactly like us. And yet their whole world now is in complete upheaval. We are blessed, so blessed to be here. And if anything, we must not take that for granted. But hold that dear to our hearts, how blessed we are to be here. How blessed we are to have God's grace, God's love with us. That we have the opportunity to share that and bring that and kindle our lights for the Lord now, while it's easy. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming when you did. In the midst of turmoil and confusion, you brought salvation. In the midst of our own personal struggles, you have given us hope. We reign in our hearts through the work of your Holy Spirit. Come now, Lord Jesus, and be my light, and be my life. Amen.